Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember when I was in high school, I was driving home from my girlfriend's house. I wonder who that might be. But on this particular night, it was pretty snowy, and the snow had fallen just enough to make the roads slick. And there was a car who was going into what's called a Michigan left. And so on major roads in Michigan, there is what's called a median. And through the median, there are all these U-turns. Instead of actually having a left turn, there's a way you maneuver in order to do this. And so this particular gal had pulled into one of these U-turns, one of these Michigan lefts, and she was going to make the turn, but she ended up making a wrong turn instead of a U-turn. Because she didn't give herself enough time to slow down. And so what happened was her wheels kept going even when she wanted to turn, and she ended up on top of a snowbank in the middle of the median. She was stuck. And I stopped and I tried to help her, but she made the biggest mistake you can make when your car is stuck in the snow. She immediately hit the gas pedal as hard as she possibly could, thinking, all I have to do is give this car more gas, and I'll get out. Only she effectively dug herself into a hole. The tires and the heat, and it just made a bigger and bigger and bigger rut until she wasn't just on snow any longer. Now she was on ice. She was in a bigger problem at the end than she had been at the very beginning. She dug herself into a hole. Today, in our series on Exodus, we arrive to chapter 32. And in today's text, first, Aaron takes not a U-turn, but a wrong turn. Second, Aaron gets stuck. And third, Aaron ends up digging himself and the Israelites with him into a big hole. The text went like this. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Now Moses had been on top of the mountain for 40 days. 40 days and 40 nights. And people were getting impatient. Their question? How long? How long is Moses going to be up there? Did something happen to him? Who knows? But the people grew impatient, and quite honestly, we all know the feeling. We see how long it takes to get through school. We see how long it takes to build a marriage. We see how long it takes to raise children. We see how long it takes to save money. We see how long it takes to make it to retirement. We see how long it takes for everything. But we don't want to see how long it takes. We want a God who can satisfy now. Right now. That's when Aaron tells the people, Take off your rings of gold that are in your ears and give them to me. So all the people took off the rings of gold and they brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. A God who can satisfy right now. And with that, Aaron does it. You want a God who can satisfy? Here he is. He is a golden calf. Aaron takes a wrong turn. And next, Aaron gets stuck. Because what does he do? But he builds an altar in front of this calf. And then he makes a surprising claim. Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord Yahweh. He calls the calf by the divine name. Really, Aaron? That's pretty bold. But honestly, it really shouldn't surprise us all that much anyway. Because how often have we done the exact same? Exchanging the real God for a fake God. And then we claim that our fake God is the real God. We do this all the time. What are the top gods in our country? Money, jobs, sports, and entertainment. They promise everything. And in the end, money, jobs, sports, and entertainment will deliver you absolutely nothing. Aaron takes a wrong turn. Aaron gets stuck. Aaron then hits the accelerator and ends up digging himself into a hole. What would that be? Well, they rose up early the next day and they offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. It was pagan revelry. It was adult play. It was sexual immorality. Aaron makes a wrong turn. He gets stuck, and now he's dug himself into a hole. And our own sin starts out the same way. We get impatient. God, how long? How long? We want a God who satisfies now. God, we don't want to wait. When we get impatient, we take the wrong turn and we disregard God's commandments. And then we get stuck as the self-justifications and rationalizations pop out of our mouths. Well, no one will know about my sin. I won't get caught. What's the big deal? I'm only human after all. It's my life. And as long as I'm the only one who gets hurt, the rest doesn't matter. We don't like the God who makes us wait. We want a God who satisfies. And so my encouragement for you tonight, God's encouragement for you tonight, is not to hit the accelerator. Don't dig yourself into a hole. If you're stuck in an emotional, a financial, or relational hole, don't make things worse by doing something that you're going to regret. Here's what I suggest. Before going off to make some immoral decision against God's commandments, first make a list of all the people in your life that you would hurt by doing it. Might it be your spouse, your kids, your grandkids, your parents, your coworkers, your church? Consider how your sin could affect the lives of others, because every sin we commit either destroys our relationship between us and God, or it destroys our relationship with us and everybody around us. One bad decision isn't worth everything and anyone who might be affected. For those who are men of the congregation, would you intentionally go up to a child and break their arm? Now, maybe especially for those who are fathers, of course not. Right? That would be awful. But the pain that we are able to cause one another when we commit these big outward sins like adultery or murder or grand scale theft, you might as well break your kid's arm 100 times for the amount of pain it's going to cause. And for the ladies, would you ever intentionally force a child to sleep outside in the cold of winter? Again, maybe especially for moms. Of course not. But the pain that is caused by these big outward sins could cause more darkness and more chill in your children's lives than doing just that. Moses calls Israel's sexual immorality a great sin. But it's not because of what they did. It's a great sin because of who committed it. Aaron did. Aaron, who's supposed to be the high priest. Aaron, who is supposed to be this intercessor between God and the people. Aaron, who is supposed to be a leader. And he lets everybody down. It's a great sin because of where they committed it. On Mount Sinai. God had literally come down with his presence on this mountain. In fact, they can still see the smoke rising up because of all the fire that is there as a testament to God's presence with them. But that doesn't stop them. And it's a great sin because of when they committed it. Right after God led them out of Egypt. We can't say that we are any better. The truth is that there are people relying on us all the time to be Christian witnesses in the world, to be anchors of faith in the lives of those around us, and yet we sin. It's not okay because of where we commit it. We are in God's presence. We've all been granted that by baptism. And speaking of baptism, think about all the great things that God has done for us. He's given us forgiveness and life and salvation. He has freed us from our former slavery. All of our sin is just as great as that sin that Israel committed. If I were Moses, I would have taken God up on his offer. God says, I want to wash my hands of these people. Moses, I'm done. I'm going to make a people out of you. You and your wife, you can have kids, and we'll start new. You will be the new Israel. Sounds pretty good to me. But Moses is a faithful man. And when God threatens to destroy the people of Israel, Moses prays, turn from burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants. That's Moses' plea to God. And that's Christ's plea to God for you. When you're in a hole, when you've taken a wrong turn, when you get stuck in this life, take the covenant of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel for yourself. And what's a covenant? It's a promise. It's God's promise that he made to these people. And guess what? The Lord always follows through with his promises. Every single time, the Lord relented from the disaster he had spoken of bringing on the people. The covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, it's forever. It's an everlasting covenant because it's sealed in blood. Sin can't break it. Idolatry can't destroy it. Death can't defeat it. And digging yourself into a hole doesn't mean it doesn't exist. The covenant that God cut with Abraham, Isaac, and Israel is your covenant. It's your promise, because that is the covenant that Jesus fulfilled in his own death. God's promise, sealed forever in the blood of Jesus Christ. God's promise, sealed forever as Jesus sheds that blood from the cross as he dies for you. The covenant blood of Jesus announces that God is always loving. And as much as one day he might see your sin and go, I should just wipe my hands of this people, he never will. Ever. No matter what kind of sin you commit, he is always ready to embrace you, always ready to forgive you, always ready to set you back into a life that is faithful to him. We can try to hide our sin, but ultimately we just end up digging the hole again. But it doesn't matter how deep your hole might be, you're not stuck. What can you do? Do what Moses did. Remember the promise, the covenant. Claim the waters of your baptism that washed you, cleaned, and connected you to the Savior. Claim the supper that strengthens your faith and promises the forgiveness in the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. And know that in Christ's new covenant promise, God relents of anger. He forgives your sins. He cleanses you with the powerful and renewing blood of your Savior Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.